This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
What is your favourite coffee? Is it a latte or maybe a flat white? For me, it's a long macchiato. I'm not a fan of too much milk in my coffee, I have to admit. And to be honest, I'd never heard of a flat white until I noticed as a teenager, my parents started ordering them from cafe. So I suppose as a rebellious teenager, I instantly, the flat white for me was on the nose. I thought, no, I'm never, never going to order one of those. But as such, I've never had one. I don't know what they really are or who invented the flat white in the first place. Well, Garrett Van Dyke is a lecturer in history from the University of Newcastle. And Chip, you know the answer to that, don't you?
I do. Thanks for having me today. Go ahead.
What's your favourite coffee when you order one?
I'm like you, actually. Double macchiato is the way I go. I don't want too much milk. I need the caffeine.
Yeah. Me too. But I've got to ask you, when I'm in Perth and I say, can I have a long macchiato? I get something that, to me, I would have thought would be like a flat white. And I don't know if that's just me that experiences that. So is there a difference?
So that's the funny thing is that the long back topped up in Perth, as they call it, is actually a slightly stronger version of a flat white. I do a weekly show with on food history with Perth ABC, and we had a whole discussion about this because the rest of the country thinks that they're bonkers for having this weird drink, and it's the number one drink order.
Oh, so it's actually the number one drink ordered over in WA.
Yeah, it's very popular, and they're trying to. At one stage, they even tried to. They were trying to get it put onto. I'm trying to remember which famous movie star it was. Whether it was whether it was Hugh Jackman's cafe in New York or like a Hemsworth or something like that. But somebody famous had a cafe in New York, and they were trying to get it out, put it on the menu to give it a sort of a global, a bit of a global profile.
Oh, fantastic. Let's get on to our coffee culture. I mean, we in Melbourne think that we have the best coffee culture in the country. I know some people in Sydney think the same thing about their city. So compared to other countries, are we big on our coffee culture, or do we just think we've got the best coffee because, you know, we've had the Greek and Italian immigrants come in after World War II?
So part of the coffee culture that you get in the big cities actually comes from someplace else. That's the sort of weird backstory here, is that it actually comes from, if you would probably not believe this, but that's the point, is that it actually comes from Queensland.
Oh.
It comes from sugar country up in Queensland. And that's where the origin of it comes, before you actually get to even to the post-World War II migration. You get Italian migrants coming in with coffee culture back in the 1890s.
Oh, wow. So they went and operated the sugarcane fields in Queensland.
That's right. So we get an influx of 335 Italian migrants that come into far north Queensland to work in sugar. So that's before Federation, and it's before the White Australia policy, but it's at the same time that they're trying to replace the use of the coercive use of Pacific Islanders in the cane fields. And they're saying, let's phase out that workforce, let's get migrants in here. Who are we going to bring in? And they actually bring in Northern Italians. So not Southern Italians, but Northern Italians. It was a big deal because it's like, oh, no, don't worry. These aren't Southern Italians. These are Northern Italians. So we're going to come in and work in the sugar fields.
And they bought the coffee.
So the coffee comes with them, but it comes slowly. You don't even get espresso as a thing. It doesn't exist until 1906. So espresso, as we know it, doesn't exist until 1906, seen at a Milan World Fair. And that's when the technology first comes in with this idea of saying, force as much pressure as we can through coffee grounds to get this really concentrated coffee that comes out at the end. And you don't get an espresso machine of any kind in Australia till 1928, and that is in Melbourne. That's the Cafe Florentino.
Ah.
And that's the first one. But that's actually steam that's going through the coffee at that point, not water. And so you don't get water for like another, you know, another decade, whereas there's lever-operated machines where you pull down, it's forcing water down through the ground into the coffee. And what does happen with Queensland is that when we're originally cane cutters and people leasing land, they wound up actually becoming, these Italians wound up becoming very prosperous and wealthy. They wound up being the owners of these farms. And then they say, let's get the best of all this culture that's happening in Italy. Let's bring it to Australia. So they build up this enclave of Italians in Little Italy up in places like Ingham, up in Sugar Country. And with that, they start developing a coffee culture and cafes that wound up thriving to the point where that gets exported from Queensland down to Sydney.
Wow, that's really interesting. So I'll just get you to speak a little closer to the mic because it's just cutting out a little bit. Let's move on to the flat white itself. Who came up with the name?
So the flat white is Alan Preston, is a cafe owner in Sydney. In 1985, he claims to be the first person to put that on the menu. So he took the idea from Queensland Sugar Country.
Right.
And there were two kinds of black coffee on the menu. There's a short black and a long black. And that's three kinds of white coffee. So you can imagine your menu set up saying black, short, white. Right. And then there were three varieties, flat, Vienna, and cappuccino. And so from a white coffee flat, he decides, let's turn that around and call it a flat white.
Ah.
So he's the first person to actually put that on a menu that says flat white coffee. There is a funny thing where in a couple places, both in New Zealand and I think even down in Canberra, a couple times a year, the pastures change, the cows change, and then properly cappuccino. So there have been times when people have had to put up a sign that says, no cappuccinos today, only flat white. But a failed cappuccino is not the same thing as a flat white.
What would happen if we went, say, to northern Italy or anywhere in Italy for that matter, and we went to a cafe and we said, could I have a flat white, please? What look would they have on their face?
They would be baffled. They would probably be thinking that you want a very pale piece of toast or something like that. they wouldn't associate this with being a coffee. And by the way, if it's after 11 o'clock and you're asking for coffee with milk in it, they're going to be horrified. They're going to say, are you a grandmother? Are you unwell? Why are you having a milky coffee after 11 o'clock? It's just not done.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad. I don't like my milk or coffee. I suppose, is coffee culture something, I suppose, that, you know, we were talking originally about the long macchiato being totally different over in WA to what it is here on the East Coast. Is it a bit like also, you know, we talk about, you go to the supermarket and you get cantaloupes and you get rock melons. Will the names eventually sort of assimilate and we'll all work it out and there'll be one standard for all? Or do you think this regional difference will remain because we're so wedded to our coffee?
I think the regional differences are going to stay, and there are going to be sort of increasing nuances between them. So, for example, the Melbourne Magic is a coffee order, and that's different for them from the Long Mac Topped Up, which is different from a Flat White, which is different from – and in the Northern Territory, because I've had chats with people up in Darwin about this, they're obviously very dedicated to iced coffee. Because when it's 49 degrees, a flat white doesn't really sound all that appealing. So I think some of it is the environment, some of it's the local culture, and some of it is just wanting to have something that's distinct and from your neck of the woods.
Ah, I see. So yeah, when you're in Melbourne, do you still order the long macchiato, or is it only when you're over in WA?
No, the WA is long macchiato. So if I'm in Melbourne, First thing I'm gonna do is take a look at what's on the coffee menu, because there's some really great places in Melbourne where they do interesting things. Where I'll say, hey, this is a bit of a laboratory here that you've got going on with single origin beans and all sorts of cool things happening. So I'll be an opportunist and try something a little bit different when I'm out of town and I'm at someplace special. But yeah, double macchiato. Is normally the way that I translate it, because there they know at least that I want twice the coffee and I want it as a macchiato.
I'm with you there, Chip, 100%.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, macchiato in Italian means stained. So the idea is that you're actually just staining the coffee with just a little, with a little bit of a milk, you know, drop on the top. In French, they call it a noisette, like a hazelnut, which is a little hazelnut of coffee on the top. But yeah, I think when by the time you're doing the long math topped up, it becomes counterintuitive. The language ceases to matter.
Chip, fascinating conversation. I'm going to go and get the stains removed from my teeth from too much coffee. Great to chat with you. Thank you for joining
us. Thanks for having me. Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. That is Garrett Van Dyke, lecturer in history from the University of Newcastle.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.